Today we're going to do a part two to our lesson from last week, where we talked about individual action and the action of the local church. There is a clear distinction in the New Testament between congregational action and individual action. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16, Paul writes, If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So Paul draws a distinction here on the actions that an individual may partake in or is commanded to partake in versus what a church is. And we read in Matthew 18 where Jesus said, beginning in verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," and we noticed this passage last week, he says, "go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." So here we have the initial response to this problem between two brethren is on an individual basis. He goes on in verse 16, "But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church." So see, here we have a progression of when the church versus the individual can be involved in issues. And he says, "But even if he refuses to hear the church, let him be like a heathen and a tax collector." It's not scriptural to say that whatever the individual Christian can do, the local church can do. And in a zeal to protect the New Testament distinction between individual and local church action, some people have taken positions that in effect suggest that whatever the local church may not do, then the individual Christian may not do as a collective group. This limits the individual Christian's group actions strictly and only to the collective action of the local church. And this leads to forbidding individuals the liberty to join together, to pool their talents and their resources, to do work even to individuals given to individual Christians. We could have recreation, such as camps for young people, education, colleges to educate people, business where we publish Bible material and sell those services, teaching the gospel. We could have papers, magazines, websites, benevolence, social services like hospitals, orphans homes, and the like. Government, where we have political organizations. This view says it's wrong for Christians to join together in any other capacity other than the local church to serve God, to teach, and to help the needy. So, what are some duties that are concurrently assigned to the individual Christian and to the local church? The discharge of individual duty does not conflict with collective duties. The individual and the local church function concurrently in some areas. The individual cannot fully discharge his personal responsibilities through the local church. Let's take teaching the gospel. It is both an individual and a collective duty that we are to teach the gospel. We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." The church collectively was not scattered, but the individuals who made up the church in Jerusalem were scattered, and they individually went and preached the gospel. In Acts 11, beginning in verse 19, Luke writes, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord." So here we have individual Christians who were doing the teaching, verses 20 and 21. The Jerusalem church reacted to this in teaching the people at Antioch, verse 22. Barnabas was sent by the church at Jerusalem to continue to help teach others, verse 23. And then we notice in verses 25 and 26 that Barnabas and Saul worked together to teach the church that had been established there in that location. And then benevolence, both individual and collective duty. It is a collective and individual duty to help the needy saints. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." According to individuals' opportunity and their ability, according to what he says here in verse 10. But the local church also is according to their opportunity and ability as well. But we find passages like Acts 11 and verse 29, which is a continuation of what we just read in a moment ago, and 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 through 7. And then we read about the collection for the saints in Jerusalem and 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 through 3. And when it comes to worship, both individual and collective duty is necessary. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 18 through 31. We observe the Lord's Supper. The local church comes together collectively, giving an opportunity to every member there to eat the supper. Acts 20 and verse 7. Acts 11, verses 18 through 20, and then again in verses 33 and 34. But yet it is the individual's duty to eat worthily, to examine himself or herself, and to discern the Lord's body. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 31. And yet we eat it individually when you come together as a church. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18. And then we take singing. Singing is speaking to one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, and it's alluded to in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, that whenever you come together, when individuals come together as a collective, we sing, speaking to one another. And then we talk about giving. It is both an individual and collective. Let each one, and yet it is accomplished when we come together collectively. That's the example that we read of in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. We talk about prayer. Prayer is an individual task, it's an individual command, yet it is to happen when the whole church comes together in one place, as well as when we're in private. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 16 through 23. And then what about discipline? When we discipline those who are disorderly, both an individual and collective duty. 1 Corinthians 5. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, we see that it is a collective action. And then in verses 9 through 13 of 1 Corinthians 5, we see that it's an individual action. Collectively, and individually, we do not keep company with those who are disorderly. Each individual Christian is responsible to God for doing his part of whatever duty God has given the local church. The local church is made up or built up by what each member supplies. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. And he alludes there to the function of the body. And Paul alludes to that again in 1 Corinthians 12, that the body properly functions only when its members are working together properly. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 26 and 27, that as each part works and grows, the local church works and grows. Now you take the church at Corinth. It planned to aid the needy saints in Jerusalem, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. So each member was to give purposely, cheerfully, and as he had been prospered by God to achieve this collective goal that the church was going to do. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, we see that each member in a congregation is responsible for unity of that church. you shouldn't be one that causes division. You should be, as everyone, when they come together, giving diligence. Each member should give diligence to unity. The congregational goal of unity is achieved and maintained when we do that. And then individuals can work together and not be in conflict with the work that is given to the local church. We have examples of individuals working together without being in conflict with the local church action. We've already noticed Matthew 18, verses 16 and 17, when you are going about the task, if you will, of calling a sinful Christian to repentance. That is an individual job that you can do without the work of the church. You can be successful at that, but as the text clearly pointed out, if they will not listen to you, if they will not repent, then you take two or three witnesses. And then if they will not listen to them, then you take it to the church. We talked about prayer, like in Acts 12 and verse 12. And in praying together, we can meet at someone's home, or we can meet at a given time and have what might be called a prayer service. And yet it's not the work of the local church. We can still do those things as individuals. We can teach the gospel according to Acts 14 and verse 27. We can teach the gospel as I'm doing right now. It's kind of on an individual basis. But as I state at the end of every radio program, if you would like to discuss further what's being taught, contact me. And we can sit down as individuals and discuss the Word of God. We can teach the gospel. It was reported to the church what God did with them in Acts 14. You see, Christ has given each individual Christian work to do that is concurrent, that goes along with the work of the local church. The body, that is the church, grows when each member does his or her part and grows in truth. Paul says in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, there are times when the church and the individual have separate commands, and then there are some commands that both the church and the individual can do. And it all boils down to understanding proper authority. Now, you may disagree with this lesson. You may wish to further discuss this lesson. As I pointed out, we can sit together as individuals and discuss this lesson or any other lesson that you may want to talk about. You can listen to this lesson again if you missed any part of it by going to the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, and I'll be glad to discuss anything with anyone at any time. Thank you again for joining me today.